Hey there, folks. It's Friday, and it's time for another movie retrospective.
Yeah, this is a good one. This is another Lovecraft one.
Yeah, we're going Lovecraft again. And look, dudes, I did the whole theme and everything. Look, Cthulhu, tequila. It's even like, you know.
Yeah.
It's even like, you know, has to do with the show and everything, you and your Keela. Although you don't have any
today. No, not today. We got to get this over with.
I don't have any today. And actually, I don't have a cocktail today. I just have black coffee.
Yeah.
I was using up the rest of the coffee that was in the pot from the spot.
Jenny's schedule's jammed. We got to get this new book out. And she's got a bunch of orders packing up for graphic design. So we got to go ahead and knock this one out.
Yeah.
This is a good movie, though. It's by the same company that did Dagon. At least it seems to be, isn't it?
No, it's not.
It's not? Okay. Well, it has Jeffrey Combs in it.
Yeah. This is actually, it's a French-American co-production.
Okay. I knew
it was made in 1993, and it's usually just called Necronomicon, although it has some other alternate titles, like with little colon at the end, like Necronomicon Book of the Dead, or Necronomicon To Hell and Back, or H.P. Lovecraft's Necronomicon, but it's the same movie.
And it's a hard-to-find movie. I can only find, like, Blu-ray and DVD bootlegs coming out of Greece.
Yeah, weirdly, this was not really a big...
Right.
I don't know. And here's the thing. It's an anthology movie. So it's going to be... It's like, it has like a wraparound story called The Library.
Yeah.
And it has Jeffrey Combs in weird makeup. He is actually playing H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah, he's playing Lovecraft, right.
And the whole that whole sequence, it's very funny, like, seeing him. He almost looks like Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, he does.
When you put all like the weird nose and the chin on him and stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty creepy. But so he plays H.P. Lovecraft, and the whole wraparound story is that he has discovered that the real Necronomicon is in this library, presumably in Providence, because that's the only place he ever lived. And the first part is set in the 30s.
Yeah.
So he actually goes to this library and kind of, I don't think he's intending to steal it, but he just wants to read it.
Yeah, to inspire him to write these stories that he's going to tell you as he's writing.
Yeah, so that's what he's doing. He's reading through the Necronomicon, and then it's like three different stories.
Yeah, and it's not a normal library. It's like a cult library or an occult library inside of a temple manned by a bunch of Egyptian cultists.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're like a, I don't know if they're a Cthulhu cult.
They're not humans, are they?
I don't think they're humans. Because he took his skin off.
Yeah, and so they may generally been, humans don't do that.
They may have been old ones or something. You know,
just like in monk suits,
right.
Kind of thing with little bald heads. And
yeah,
everything. But he steals keys and he's like looking through the thing, and so they show him like writing the beginning of each story, like he was inspired by the Necronomicon to write this particular story.
Yeah, it's three stories.
Yeah,
and then the wraparound story, and they're pretty good stories.
The three stories are. Now, if you're a fan of Lovecraft's work, these are pretty loose adaptations.
Yeah.
The first one is called The Drowned, and it's ostensibly
based on rats
on
in
the
wall.
Rats in the Walls, even though it kind of has some elements of Shadow of Innsmouth, it kind of has some elements of Call of Cthulhu, and a couple of other stories, too. And it kind of has to do with this guy that comes back. He gets called back to take over this old, really old, like falling apart hotel that belonged to one of his ancestors. And he finds all his ancestors' papers. And it turned out that the ancestor, who was played by, what's that dude's name? Richard Lynch.
Yeah.
All you Mystery Science Theater fans out there, Richard Lynch was also in the very, very terrible, but also kind of wonderful 1995 movie, Werewolf or Warwolf.
Yeah.
You want to say it like the weird girl that was in that movie.
Yeah.
One of the best MST episodes ever. So if you haven't seen it, you should go look it up because that movie is just hysterical. But he's in this and he plays the ancestor. And evidently, I don't know, like, I'm not real clear on what he was, a shipwreck and he didn't save his wife and kid or something like that. And they died and he brings them back. And so there's kind of like a thing where, you know, the modern guy is calling back to the old one, like, you know, calling back one of his girlfriend or his wife or whoever, who he accidentally killed the same kind of way.
Yeah. The second story is actually one that there was, they had a Night Gallery?
There was
a Night Gallery adaptation of it. It was called Cool Air or Cold Air.
Cool Air.
Yeah. About a guy who, you know, he seemed to be older than he should have been. He should have been 100 and something years old. And he was built this really crude, air conditioning system. This is like back in the 1800s, or, you know, or it may have been early 1900s. It's been a long time I've seen it. and the AC breaks, but you find out that he had preserved himself. Well, that was actually based on an H.P. Lovecraft short story, and they tell a version of that story in this one. It's pretty good, too.
And David Warner is in it.
Yeah. Like,
and I love David Warner. He's good in everything.
Yeah, about how to prolong life and bring the dead back to life using some kind of essential salts. They don't really, you know, it was H.P. Lovecraft type technology.
This is alchemical type stuff. And this one, the second one, it's weird because they didn't name them, I guess because they weren't going to that faithfully adapt them. So they didn't give them the same names as the stories.
Like, just kind of reminiscent.
Yeah, the first one was just called The Drowned, and the second one was called The Cold, even though it's mostly based on Cool Air.
Right.
And now the third story was based on...
Whispers in the Dark.
Whispers in the Dark.
Whispers in the Dark, right.
Or so they say. Like, some people thought...
Yeah, that it's not real.
It's not really real, close. Yeah. Actually, it almost seems more like there was one called The Nameless City, I think, that was sort of close to this. It was almost like a Vision of Hell type of thing. And, this one is probably the loosest adaptation out of all of them, and it's also by far the goriest.
Right.
This, like I said, came out in the early 90s, and if you're into gore, Tom Savini did, like, supervise most of the effects on this, and they are very good.
Yeah, it's pretty disturbing, the very last one.
Yeah, so they're super, super gory. And the last one's really the goriest one. But it's also, like I said, the loosest adaptation.
Yeah, all this loose adaptation stuff, that's actually not a big deal because...
Not really.
That's actually... That was part of the tradition of Lovecraftian lore. Lovecraft kind of encouraged other people to kind of expand on his mythos. And you can't really put an H.P. Lovecraft story, most of them, you can't. They're not movieable.
Not really.
Nothing really happens in them. It's all mood, most of them. And when something does happen, it's so vague. Like, in most of your Lovecraft stories, there aren't any real action scenes. It's kind of like something out of the old original book, Dracula, where, like, a series of reports or a series of letters tell the story. You know, Lovecraft had a pretty Baroque writing style. It's kind of like, I don't know.
Well, and the thing...
It's like from... It's not even a... And he died almost... He was born 100 years ago. But he was like something from 200 years ago, really.
Yeah, he was much... He kind of like romanticized things much earlier than even he was born. And he was from like the beginning of the 20th century.
Yeah, he was kind of... Kind of an Asperger's type guy.
Yeah, he was kind of a weirdo.
He was a weirdo. He didn't have any social skills, really. He was sheltered, kind of. His mother didn't really show him any affection, really. He wasn't the kind of guy that really could, you know, get laid, per se. It wasn't until much later. And, you know, he grew up, but it took him a long time to grow up. He really didn't become a full-fledged man until he was probably in his 40s.
And like I said, like you said, I think it's...
Weird guy.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to adapt a lot of his stuff to film because so much of it has to do with subjective experience. Like, so much of it is in the first person, and it's all from the narrator's point of view and how they feel about things. And that's, like, really hard to show on screen.
Right.
In a story, it works really well because he's very good at, like, building up atmosphere and building up mood and stuff like that. But, you know, unless you're going to go the whole tentacled monsters route, there's really not a lot to show because a lot of his work has to do with what's unknown. It's like, we can't show it. It'll drive you mad and all this other kind of stuff. So they can't show it. So I do see why they do that type of thing where they're just like, okay, we're just going to do like a loose adaptation, or they're going to do something that's Lovecraftian, like, like In the Mouth of Madness was.
Yeah.
Like The Thing is kind of,
actually the, from what I remember reading, the only story that I thought was like a modern book that told a modern tale was Out at the Mountains of Madness.
Yeah, that was definitely his most modern.
That was like a modern horror
tale,
kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of almost like The Thing.
Yeah, it was very similar. And I think that's where The Thing, or the
person... I think
The
Thing might have ripped that off.
Right. No, I mean, and, you know, that was like from based on The Thing from Another World, which was based on a book.
But, yeah, when you really look at The Thing, at least John Carpenter's version of The Thing, which is kind of like... Also based on Who Goes There.
Yeah.
John Carpenter's interpretation of The Thing was a Shaggoth.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we know that Carpenter read Lovecraft. So he's going like, okay, Yeah. My thing is a Shaggoth, which, yeah. you know.
So like I said, sometimes the best Lovecraft adaptations aren't actual direct yeah. adaptations at all.
No, they're fan fiction. Fan yeah, fiction.
I mean, because look at like Reanimator and From Beyond and stuff like that, which are...
Loosely based,
you know, nominally Lovecraft adaptations. But, you know, they took it in a different direction and they're very good. I think probably the closest one that's the best one is Dagon, which we've already yeah. done. That is very good at capturing the atmosphere
of what he's talking about,
like, and it has that whole drippy, fishy kind of
yeah.
shit and everything.
He must not like seafood.
Yeah, that's no, he didn't like seafood. He really had some problems yeah. with that kind of stuff.
Now, this movie here, like I said, it's hard to find. You can watch it for free, kinda, on Dailymotion. The first hour of it in HD. It looks really good. Yeah. All right, and then the part two of it's missing. They took it down.
Yeah, we couldn't find part two.
Then you can also watch the full version in HD on YouTube. The problem is the top of the screen and the bottom of the screen are cut out a little bit. You can still watch it, but it's not yeah. a full.
You're gonna miss a
screen,
lot.
Screen, you know.
Yeah.
So I kind of would, if you want, unless you want to spring for the $20 to see the movie or to buy the Blu-ray or the DVD, you might be able to rent it on Amazon.
You probably can, I would
you
think.
You might be able to check Amazon.
You know, most of that kind of shit you can get on streaming or whatever.
Yeah, but it's worth seeing the movie. It's kind of like along the lines of John Carpenter's Body Bags or maybe Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah.
But it's a Lovecraftian version of that.
I want to say it's like, I love anthology movies, generally. I mean, you know, they're mixed bag usually, but I mean, sometimes there's... you know, one segment in there that's like really good and kind of makes up for the other ones. I'm going to place this one. I don't think it's as good as like Creepshow, which we definitely have to do a show about, but it's for sure better than Cat's Eye.
Yeah.
Which I also actually kind of like. And I would put it around the same tier as Body Bags. It's
yeah.
it's kind of the same vibe. It's not quite as
mainstream.
Well, it's not quite as wacky.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, you know, I don't
Body
know.
Body Bags was kind of wacky and mainstream.
It had kind of, yeah, it had kind of a black humor, Tales from the Crypt.
Necronomicon does have a true Lovecraftian vibe to it.
Some of it does.
Some of it, yeah.
I'm going to say, here's what I'm going to say. The first segment, The Drowned, which was actually directed by Christoph Gans, the French director, who did The Brotherhood of the Wolf, which was actually a really good cult werewolf movie. That if you haven't seen that, you should probably go see that because it's really good. That, I'm going to say, has the most Lovecraftian vibe.
Yeah.
It has like the old gothic crumbling castle. It has kind of a Cthulhu type monster.
Yeah.
And it has that kind of.
It has a ghost story feel to it.
Aesthetic to it, yeah. But, so yeah. I'm going to say that's the most Lovecraftian.
Yeah.
The second one, The Cold with David Warner, that was based on Cool Air, is probably the most faithful. The most faithful adaptation of the story that it was supposedly based on. And I think it's the best segment as far as writing, acting, suspense, as far as that kind of thing goes. It has some gore in it, which is really entertaining. And it's just a good story. It's like a mystery story, like a story within a story. So I think that's kind of the best segment. The last segment...
That's actually my favorite one. She doesn't like it.
Yeah, but. The last segment I think is the weakest just because for sure it's the goriest. It's the most fun.
It's action the horror. It's action horror yeah. and it's real disturbing.
It was directed by Brian Yuzna, who obviously worked on Reanimator and From Beyond and
yeah.
various other things and also worked on
Dagon. Yeah, I thought the whole movie was done by that guy.
No.
Okay.
He just did the, like, the last
just
one.
Did the last part?
Actually, the second mm-hmm. segment with David Warner.
Yeah.
That was actually directed by a Japanese director. That
okay.
was Shisuke Kaneko, who right. actually did the 1995 Gamera movie,
oh,
which
right.
was actually decent.
Okay.
I really liked that. But yeah, so he did the second one. But the third one, it's the goriest. I also think it's the least Lovecraftian. And
wow. okay.
it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, it doesn't have a lot of plot. It's all visuals.
But you know what? Lovecraft sometimes doesn't have
oh,
a plot and doesn't,
I'm
there's
not
no,
saying that.
There's no real plot line to a lot of Lovecraft stuff.
I'm not saying that.
I'm going to say it is Lovecraftian. It's just that the delivery is very modern.
It is, yeah. It's like a modern.
Right. But that was still the kind of shit that Lovecraft was talking about.
Yeah.
It's just that this is told to you in a very modern setting. And it's taking place in what, the 90s?
Yeah, it was a contemporary, yeah.
So the delivery was pretty contemporary, but that's still kind of the idea. Things living down in caves.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess they're aliens. It's not really explained.
Aliens or old ones.
They're aliens, and they seem to want to be able to kind of crossbreed with humans so they can live a better life, but you got to get rid of your body. They're gonna eat your body. I'm not gonna spoil it.
Which is kind of like Whisper in the Dark.
Kind of like Whisper in the Dark, right?
So yeah, where they were taking out, popping out your brain,
Out your brain, and it's pretty disturbing.
I have to say that the best gag, other than the melting gag in the second one, like the guy melting, in the third segment, which is called Whispers, the brain dead gag with the guy without. You know what I mean? Where they show the back of his head. And it's
Don't run it.
Actually my favorite. That's my favorite gag in the whole movie. But overall, like I said, I really like this movie. I like anthology movies. It's a little uneven, like all anthology
movies.
It's not as good as Dagon.
On par with Reanimator and From Beyond, but different. It's an anthology, kind of like Body Bags. But I would say it was on par with... not as classic, I would say. I would say it was the weakest out of the three, but it's there.
Yeah.
It's good enough to watch.
And like I said, you know, if you're into Lovecraft and you don't mind like some liberties being taken, or you're more into like Lovecraftian type of stuff, then probably you will get into this if you're not going to be too.
Yeah. I don't worry about the liberties, because every movie with Lovecraft's name on it, many liberties were taken. You have to.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's
because
like,
because of
the
literature.
Yeah.
And Lovecraft encouraged that. I mean, Lovecraft kind of had a little cult of admirers and fans that followed him in his lifetime, and they wrote their own spin and they added to the to his mythos, and he encouraged it. You know, you could do it, just as you know, and they all rated it. You know, that's what Dr. Price does. He writes, you know, Lovecraft stuff. Matter of fact, we saw him on one of the documentaries about
Fear of the Unknown that came out a while back. Well, yeah, that had Neil Gaiman and Ramsey Campbell and. You know, all those type of people that wrote Lovecraftian type takeoffs, so like, you know, later on. But I always feel like if you're going to adapt a Lovecraft story directly, I always liked the approach of, like, I don't know, you can do a modern adaptation. Like I said, look at In the Mouth of Madness, which was very Lovecraftian, but it wasn't directly based on a Lovecraft story.
Right.
And if that's the direction you're going to go, if you want it to be set in the modern era, then that's what you should do.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're going to adapt a story directly, then you should probably set it at the time that it was written, because that's one thing I really like about, you know, the H.P. Lovecraft Historical Society, where they made like Call of Cthulhu and they made Whisper in the Darkness, and they set it
in those days,
and actually Call of Cthulhu, they set it so it looked like a silent movie
that
era.
Yeah, it actually, and it also was kind of like a silent era, kind of crossbred with King Kong.
Yeah, and it was really awesome. And I thought that was like a really cool like aesthetic choice. It really gave that whole Lovecraftian vibe, the same vibe that I get when I read one of his stories. So, you know, I feel like that's kind of a cool thing to do. I think that's why I probably think like the, you know, this, I liked the wraparound segment of this a lot because it was set in the 30s. You know, with Jeffrey Combs playing H.P. Lovecraft. And I liked that whole aesthetic. Some of the other ones, like, maybe that's why I didn't like the third one as much, because it was set in the present day.
Yeah.
And to me, it just didn't have
Lovecraft
kind of magic
and
to it.
And somehow Lovecraft's in this occult library with the Necronomicon being inspired to write these three stories.
Right.
And some of these stories are happening in Lovecraft's future.
Yeah, because they would be.
They would have to be, because, you know.
I mean, the second segment, I had a hard time, like, because it was, I guess, the part that was set in the modern day, and then part of it was set, like, in 20 years before, although it looked, like, earlier than that. Like, some of it looked like the 50s, but I couldn't figure out, like, what time period it was supposed to be.
Out of all of them, I'm going to say Dagon.
Well, yeah.
Dagon was the best Lovecraft. Even, like, the black and white ones you were talking about, that was an accurate depiction.
Yeah.
I still think Dagon's better than those. I'd rather watch Dagon than this old
one. Well, yeah, like I said, you know, Dagon kind of has everything.
It has everything.
It's an entertaining movie. It has a lot of gore. It has a lot of action.
Great music sound.
Yeah, really good soundtrack, but it is
the
also...
The Blu-ray's beautiful.
But it is also really reminiscent of an actual Lovecraft story.
Yeah.
So I think they really got it on the mark right there.
Right.
But, you know, this one, like I said, if you like Lovecraft, if you like anthology-type movies, then probably you should check this one out if you haven't seen it. And like I said, I love Jeffrey Combs, so I'm gonna see pretty much anything he's in. I don't care.
Yeah, he does a good job.
But yeah, so anyway, that'll do it for our Lovecraftian inspired movie retrospective for today. I can't talk. I've had too much coffee. Remember, if you like the show, to like, share, subscribe with all your friends and share on all your social media, because it really helps us out a lot. If you'd like to financially support the show, you can go to our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/13oclockpodcast, or you can go to our blog, which is 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com, and there's a link in the sidebar to a PayPal account. Actually, I forgot to show. Look at this, you guys. I got this at Barnes & Noble, like, a while back.
Big old Lovecraft book.
Look at how beautiful that is. It was only, I think this was, what, 15 bucks?
Yeah.
18 bucks, something like that. From, and this has everything. And back. Look, it's in silver on the side, and it's got, like, a little purple bookmark type ribbon there.
That's almost everything he's written, right?
It is everything. It's everything. This is the complete H.P. Lovecraft. Yeah, so this was like actually a really good deal. I don't know if they're still selling it at Barnes & Noble. I just got it in the front of Barnes & Noble a couple months ago.
Yeah, it was with you. At the mall, actually.
Yeah. It was at the Altamont Mall. But yeah, so that'll do it for this installment. Be sure to check out our regular episodes every Tuesday and our movie reviews every Friday. Until next time, bye.